Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're so glad you joined us here for the conversation as we go verse by verse through the book of Jeremiah. Our series, The Hard Truth, is looking at this Old Testament prophet's messages of sorrow, judgment, and hope. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, friends, and welcome back. So glad you joined us again today for yet another episode of Everyday Truth. I want to share this postcard with you. We just, I think, last week got a postcard from West Virginia, the New River Gorge Bridge. And amazingly, we got another postcard, the New River Gorge National Park and Preserve, different postcard. What a beautiful, I don't know how well you can see that. What a beautiful place West Virginia is. Almost heaven, somebody said, right? You're going to be humming that song. But this is from Gary and Kathy Snyder from Morgantown. And thank you for sharing the card and bringing back such good memories for me of that part of the country. And I've driven through there many, many times. And thanks for listening to the podcast and taking time to send that in. Really means a lot to me. Hey, we're in Jeremiah chapter number 8. The message that Jeremiah is preaching is a message in which he's highlighting the lack of self-awareness among God's people. They were living in a way that was totally opposite of what God's law taught and of what God desired for them. And yet they were living in this delusion, I guess you would say, of, yeah, but we're wise and we love the law of God. And God had said to them, I may as well not have even given you the law of God. We shouldn't have even copied it. You're not following it. You're not living it. You're not following it. And you're calling yourself wise? What kind of wisdom is that? He said. So we can know that we are in a place of complete and utter delusion when we can't see ourselves. I think about that great passage in James chapter 1, when the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So one of the primary ways by which we deceive ourselves is when we take stock in what we know, and yet at the same time, don't practice what we know. So we're just fine because we believe the right things, because we know the right things, because we subscribe to the right things, because I go to a church that preaches the right things, that does not constitute genuine Christianity. It always comes down to, what does your life indicate about the nature of your beliefs? And what we're finding here in Jeremiah chapter 8 is, it's anything but being a follower of God. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 14, and look at what it says. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves. Let us enter into the defense cities. Let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. So, in other words, futuristically, there's coming a day, said Jeremiah, when people will run, and they will enter captivity, and there'll be nothing they can really say about it. They're not going to be able to say, God, this is not fair, or God, help. Because first of all, the day of restoration is over. Judgment time has come. There will come a time when God's people will silently take their medicine. We call that the time of Babylonian captivity, where God's people did indeed go to the land of captivity. They were indeed in bondage for those many years. And it was there that finally, over a period of time, they realized, by not having the temple, by not having the nation, by being judged in that way, they finally learned what they should have learned by listening to prophets like Jeremiah and like Habakkuk and like Zephaniah and like those that had come before them, the Isaiahs and the Micahs, and those that had come before them, like the Jonahs and the Amoses and the Hoseas and all the prophets. And yet the one consistent thing about God's people was that they had slain all the prophets. Isn't that what Jesus said in his day? You have killed all the prophets. And so why would it be an amazing thing if you would not kill me, who is the culmination of all of God's prophecy in one person, the Lord Jesus himself? Look at verse number 15. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Oh, we were thinking that the Babylonians will never come, and it'll get better, and surely the temple won't fall, and it can't be that bad. Now, why? Why would the people of God have been looking for peace when Jeremiah has been for 40 years telling them destruction is coming and God is not mocked? And why would they be looking for peace? And the reason is because all of the other prophets, the false prophets, are saying, hey, peace, peace. Remember, they're healing the daughter of my people slightly, lightly. We talked about that even yesterday. So when there are a bunch of prophets saying, hey, peace, peace, and there's only one or two prophets like Jeremiah and Habakkuk and Zephaniah saying judgment, judgment, then what are you going to believe? They would much rather believe what's easy for them to believe. They would much rather believe what makes them feel good or what is a preferable outcome for them. They want those teachers having itching ears to tell them what they want to hear instead of listening to what they know to be that's right. And so they're deluded. Why? Because they've been listening in an echo chamber to people tell them the things that they already want to hear. That's why if you have a leader in your life, whether it be a pastor or a friend or a godly brother or sister in Christ, who tells you things according to the word of God that you maybe don't want to hear, but that you need to hear, that's a real friend, and that's a real communicator of God's word. That was Jeremiah. Look at verse number 16. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell in. This is talking about the Babylonian invasion. Did you see what it said there? The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. Dan would be the northernmost tribe. When you go to Israel with me one day, I'll take you to a place called Tel Dan, which is the settlement of the tribe of Dan, the second settlement. They weren't satisfied with their initial allocation from the Lord, and they went and took over a place called Lachish, and it became known as Dan. The point is that Dan is the northernmost tribe. And so any attack coming from the north would go through Dan. So the point here is that the invasion has begun. We hear the snorting of the horses in Dan. It's coming down and making a complete rampage over the entire country. This is the invasion that everyone thought would never come, peace, peace, but now is upon them. Verse number 17, for behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed. They shall bite you, saith the Lord. Okay, the metaphor here is that God's people had always found a way to charm the snake, always found a way through political maneuverings and through alternate alliances to Egypt and then to Babylon and then to some neighboring countries. They'd always been able to leverage themselves out and pay taxes to this one or play a political game with that one and avoid judgment from this one. They'd always been able to play the game. And God said, there's coming a day when all of your charming, all of your political machinations, all of what you've done physically to avoid these bites will go away. And in that day, you won't be able to charm the snake anymore. In that day, you won't be able to stop the horse anymore. The invasion is coming and it is inevitable. Verse number 18, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Now, even trying to find comfort in this season is not going to be possible. Even Jeremiah said, there's no way to get any kind of emotional equilibrium Remember, it was in this season of invasion and destruction that Jeremiah just wept. That's all he could do. He wrote an entire book of weeping called Lamentations. I mean, there come seasons of judgment and destruction when sorrow reigns, and that will be this season. Verse number 19, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? So God's people are going to be weeping and crying because they're taken away into captivity. And Jeremiah asks, but isn't God in Zion? Isn't the king in Zion? I mean, how could this be? How can God be overtaken? How can a human king, a human army overtake God's city, Zion? And yet the point is exactly what we've learned. And that is because God's people have refused to repent. And Jeremiah finds this an incredulous thing. This is just not right. This goes against everything that God ever intended. Remember, Jerusalem was supposed to be the central spot, the place around the world where the glory of God would be seen, where the people of the world would come to gather to worship God, a temple for all nations where prayer could be made. And yet nothing like that is happening. Watch what the Lord himself says in verse number 19. We see Jeremiah's lamentation. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Now notice the change of pronouns at the end of the verse. Why have they provoked me to anger? So it goes from Jeremiah speaking about the Lord, first half of the verse, to the Lord himself speaking, because he speaks about himself, me. Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities, empty things, empty items of worship, empty things where they've spent their money and their time and on which they've placed their devotion. So Jeremiah asked the question, so God, isn't he there? God, aren't you strong? Can't you? God says, it's not me. It's not me. It's my people that have chosen to follow these empty pursuits and not to put their faith and trust in me. So this is not God's choice in that sense. It is the choice of people that have chosen to rebel against a good and loving and long-suffering God. Look at verse number 20. The harvest is past. We know this verse. The summer is ended. We are not saved. That's an agricultural illustration. The harvest comes, and then during the summer, a different crop, like that's the time for vineyards and grapes. So it's like one harvest has passed, and now the next season, summer, it's ended, and we're not saved. The harvest has failed. The summer crop yield has failed, and now we have no hope. Winter's coming. We have nothing in the storehouse. We're not saved. It's too late. That's what that verse is teaching. Verse number 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I'm hurting for them, said Jeremiah. How sad. They're going to have to suffer. I hurt for them. I'm black. That means I'm in mourning. Astonishment hath taken hold of me. I'm amazed at just the rebellion. I'm amazed at just the way that God's people have said no to the gracious and long-suffering God. Verse number 22, is there no balm in Gilead, B-A-L-M? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no hope? I mean, people would go to Gilead and receive this special like aloe vera type ointment treatment. There, people would go and get help, but there's coming a day when there's no food, there's no provision, there's no help. There's no help even from God. They have made their choice. Summer, harvest is past. Summer is ended, and we are not saved. The whole point about this is, boy, when God is speaking to us, remember we said last episode when God was consuming them by allowing things not to grow, Boy, they should have taken notice during the harvest season that, wow, we need to get right. Summer's coming. They should have taken notice during summer. We need to get right. But they didn't. And harvest was past and summer was ended. And they still were in a place of complete and utter destruction. Why? Their own choice. Now we're going to enter chapter number 9 tomorrow. So I want you to get your Bibles ready. We'll jump right in. Hope you'll join us for that. Until then, God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.